White, St. Helena, California, August 3rd, 1903. My dear son Willie, I cannot sleep after 2 o'clock a.m. I applied myself closely to writing all day yesterday, with the exception of 2 hours, which I spent at the sanitarium talking with Dr. Evans and his wife. They asked to see me, and we had a pleasant interview. Dr. Evans is anxious for you to attend the Los Angeles camp meeting. He would be glad if I could go, but my work is here, putting into shape for publication writings that have been neglected. I am sure that in remaining here and doing this work, I am in the line of duty. The Lord will help me, giving me clearness of mind. I cannot afford to have my mind occupied with a variety of things that have no relation to my work. These things only load me down, and I am sure that of many to whom I write and talk, it might be said, "A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still." Should I go to this meeting, I should be thrown back 2 months in my work. So I have decided that my place is at home, with my workers. I am sending you today another manuscript on the color question. I wish to say, however, that I have not finished writing on this subject. I think that the less this subject is agitated, the better it will be. If it is much agitated, difficulties will be aroused that will take much precious time to adjust. We cannot lay down a definite line to be followed in dealing with this subject. In different places and under different circumstances, the subject will need to be handled differently. In the South, where the race prejudice is so strong, we could do nothing in presenting the truth were we to deal with the color line question as we can deal with it in the North. This subject should be as little agitated as possible. We are to do as the Spirit of the Lord shall dictate. As we are led and controlled by the Spirit of God, we shall find that this matter will adjust itself. The white workers in the South will have to move in a way that will enable them to gain access to the white people. I wish that it were possible to leave the color line alone until the truth can be presented in the South. When God's workers allow His Spirit to work upon their minds, much more will be accomplished in the work of soul saving. The Lord is our helper. He will guide us in all matters if we will trust in Him. One thing is certain. We must have faith in God. Faith that He will arrange matters in a way that will enable us to work successfully. I know that no one ever trusted God in vain. He will never disappoint those who put their trust in Him. I am very sorry to hear that there is a plan to reopen the Battle Creek College. To establish a college in Battle Creek, after such plain warnings have been given against doing this, would be to make a great mistake. I can assure you that the large number of patients at the sanitarium is no evidence that the institution is where it should be, or that it is conducted after God's order. Christ's plan for teaching the truth cannot be carried out in so large an institution as the Battle Creek Sanitarium, where so large a number of patients of all classes are gathered together. There may be some conversions at the sanitarium at Battle Creek among those who go there for treatment, but these will meet with greater difficulty than in almost any other place. Because of the great number of patients, this sanitarium is necessarily conducted as a large hotel. Worldlings of all classes are, of course, entertained there, and the helpers are constantly brought into connection with an influence that tends to draw them away from Christ. Oh, why cannot those who know the truth follow the instruction that God has given? Why do they not make plants in places that have never yet heard the truth? Let us pray to God for help to do His work as in His very presence. The enemy works untiringly to deceive human beings and lead them away from God. He and his angels will, in the future, assume the shape of human beings and will work to make the truth of God of no effect. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, the Lord has described the people who are sanctified to Himself. They are the people who repair the breach that has been made in the law of God by the man of sin. And they that be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Verses 12 to 14. Those who know the truth, but who walk contrary to the truth, may never place their feet in the path that Christ followed. We are to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5, verse 1. No man or woman is to bind himself or herself to serve for a certain number of years under the control of a medical association. This is not God's plan, but a plan of human devising. Human beings belong to the Lord, body, soul, and spirit, and they are to be guided and controlled by Him. He has bought us. We are under obligation to be laborers together with Him. No one should bind himself to serve for a certain number of years in any institution. I know that some have thought it advisable for the workers in our sanitariums to sign certain contracts. But I know also that it is not in accordance with God's plan for the workers to sign these contracts. They are pledged to God, and if He moves upon them to take the message to a certain place, shall they be bound by a pledge that hinders them from going? Never, never. We are not our own, and we are not to bind ourselves to human beings by signing contracts to do this or that. We are to work under our Master, Christ Jesus, looking to Him for directions. We are to pray and work and believe, following always the course that He marks out. There are among professing believers many who know little of what is comprehended in the third angel's message. They have not followed the straight pathway of truth. They have not purified their souls by obeying the word. They are unconverted. They need to seek the Lord while He may be found, and to call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, verse 6, 7. Our ministers need this message. There are among them those whose feet are standing in slippery places. They slip one way and then another, and continue to slip and slide. May God help them to place their feet in the footprints of Jesus. In these last days, the representation made in the 12th chapter of Revelation will be fulfilled. Satan will carry on the great conflict that he began in heaven, of which we read, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven." Verses 7, 8. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down with great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Verses 9-12. Our churches are in the condition described in the message to the Laodicean church. They are neither cold nor hot. They need a fresh, new experience. God calls upon them to prepare for his coming, for it is near at hand. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be, in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 10-14, 17-18.